Good afternoon. My name is Ann Johnson. I'm with Haynes and Boone, and it is with great pride that I introduce our guest, United States Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. Justice Breyer is the first member of our nation's highest court to appear on a World Affairs Council program in our 65-year history, and I understand from Justice Breyer that this is his first time visiting Dallas. So thank you and welcome, Your Honor. Justice Breyer is one of few individuals in American history who has served at the highest levels of all three branches of our government. In the executive branch as a lawyer for the Justice Department and a special Watergate prosecutor. In the legislative branch as chief counsel to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And of course, in the judicial branch. First as a law clerk to Justice Arthur Goldberg, and then in 1980 when he was appointed to the First Circuit Court of Appeals. He later became chief of that court and in 1994 was appointed to the United States Supreme Court. In making that appointment, President Clinton extolled Justice Breyer's searching and restless intelligence and remarkable ability to explain complex subjects in understandable terms. That remarkable ability is on full display in his many books about the law and American democracy, including the one we will have the privilege of learning about today, The Court and the World, American Law and New Global Realities. As you listen to Justice Breyer's conversation with Council President Jim Falk, I will share with you some advice that was recently given to another audience at the Brookings Institute. You will learn here today that Stephen Breyer is not just a great jurist, he is a great teacher. Be prepared to learn something, not just about the law, but about how a fine mind works. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Dallas welcome to United States Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer.
Well, again, let me say welcome. We are so glad you're here.
Thank you. Very nice to be here. I don't think I've been to Dallas before. I mean, as you get a little older, you begin to realize the things you absolutely certain you remember never really happened. I mean, that's but my mother was a member of the World Affairs Council in San Francisco in the early 1950s. I remember that, and that did happen. So it's nice to be talking to this group.
Well, one thing I remember is that on Thanksgiving weekend, when most of you were probably watching football, I was reading this book.
That's admirable, admirable.
Which I expect all of you to do this coming weekend. It's a good excuse not to go to the mall. But on a more serious note, why did you decide to write this book now? And you know, we have lots of students in the audience. Who was your intended audience?
Well, I'd say wide range, but not a lay audience in part, and particularly students. I want students, when I'm writing something, I'm usually trying to explain how the court works. You know, contrary to popular belief, the court is not the CIA. There is really nothing secret about it. And in my own opinion, I think my colleagues would share that, the real hope for a rule of law in the United States, and you go into decades to come, is that the younger members of our society understand what we're doing. They understand our democratic institutions. They participate. If they don't, it's not going to work. So I like to talk to the younger ones, particularly when they disagree with me. Say something, and I'd say, I see you disagree with me. You're pretty cynical about what your contribution is. You better make that contribution, or it's not going to happen. You don't like what's happening? Talk to somebody. You don't like what's going to happen? Convince them. That's called the democratic process. Now, that's quite simple-minded, but I would like to explain to people in some detail how our court works, and this is in the area where.
Now, you've been on the court for 22 years, and your docket has really changed, hasn't it, in the impact of international cases?
Yes. I would say that 20 years ago, if I really went through, we have about 75 cases in the year, 70 to 80. These are cases where almost always the lower court judges have come to different conclusions about the same question of federal law, statutes of the Constitution. So they need someone to iron that out, and that's us. So of those 75 cases or so, I'd say maybe two or three, really required us to get a sensible answer to the legal question, to look beyond our own shores. Now, I think that number today has grown. 10%, too low. 15%, 20%, it's going like that. And these are cases where you have to know. And that's what I want to